Imagine owning a toll bridge where you never have to pave the road, you never have to fix the concrete, and you never even have to hire a toll collector.
Right. The traffic just continually increases.
Exactly. The traffic increases and the money simply appears. Now imagine taking the profits from that absolutely perfect, frictionless bridge and using them to buy a highly competitive, labor-intensive car dealership on the side of the highway.
Which is a severe structural mismatch.
Right. But that is exactly what one of the most powerful financial companies in the world did. And today, in this deep dive, we are unpacking how they are finally fixing that error.
It really is a profound structural correction. I mean, when you observe a standard Wall Street corporate restructuring, analysts tend to treat it like basic arithmetic.
Yeah, they line up their spreadsheets.
Exactly. They break a company into pieces and they approach the entire process as, a routine sum of the parts equation.
Right, they treat it as simple addition and subtraction. But the article we are dissecting today argues that this conventional arithmetic completely blinds the market. It blinds them to what is actually happening with S&P Global's recent filing to spin off its mobility division.
Right, because this isn't just a simple corporate restructuring. We are looking at a fundamental shift in business physics.
So our objective today is to explore the rigorous framework the author provides. The argument is that S&P Global is essentially a free surfer shedding a mechanical bee, and we want you, the listener, to use this to uncover fundamental truths about valuation, capital efficiency, and the corporate pursuit of mathematical purity.
To understand the depth of the author's argument, we first have to establish the vocabulary being used here. The entire thesis rests on the distinct difference between a free surfer and a mechanical bee.
Let's define those for the listener.
So, a free surfer is a business positioned to ride structural macroeconomic waves of growth without requiring proportionate capital expenditure.
Meaning they don't have to spend money to capture that growth.
Precisely. The environment itself pushes the business forward. A mechanical bee, conversely, is a business where growth requires continuous physical, financial, or operational effort.
It demands capital expenditure, right?
Yes, aggressive product development, sales friction, just to maintain its market position, let alone expand it.
This is where we want you, the listener, to evaluate your own portfolio. We are framing this discussion as a broader intellectual exercise. This isn't just about understanding one specific spin-off at S&P Global.
No, it's about upgrading how you evaluate all corporate growth moving forward.
Exactly. So to grasp the magnitude of this particular spin-off, we first need to examine the architecture of the S&P Global conglomerate before they made the decision to separate these entities.
The author identifies four core divisions within S&P Global that constitute its true foundational identity. First, you have the ratings division.
Which operates essentially as a twin to Moody's, right?
Exactly. And the mechanics here are brilliant. Every time a major corporation or a sovereign government issues a bond to raise capital, investors demand a rating to understand the risk.
So as global debt structurally expands over time, S&P Global automatically collects a fee.
Right. They don't spend capital to force the global debt market to expand. The expansion is a macroeconomic certainty, and they simply sit at the gate.
Wow. And second, there's the indices division, which houses the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones. This division rides the massive secular shift toward passive investing.
Right, which is a massive wave.
It is. I mean, every time someone's retirement account automatically buys into an S&P 500 index fund on the first of the month, S&P Global takes a tiny, virtually invisible cut.
And they don't have to spend marketing dollars to convince people to invest passively. The structural shift in the financial industry does the work for them.
It's completely frictionless.
Precisely. Then third, we have market intelligence. This division provides essential data terminals and analytics for financial professionals.
And the key metric here is the switching cost, correct?
Yes. If you are an institutional analyst, changing your data provider breaks your underlying financial models.
Which makes the revenue incredibly sticky.
Incredibly sticky and recurring. Finally, there is commodity insights, which includes Platts. When a physical commodity like oil or liquid natural gas is priced anywhere in the global market, Platts is the reference benchmark.
So for all four of these divisions, the cost of the bee, meaning the effort required to generate growth, is effectively free.
Yes, they operate as toll booths on structural economic expansion.
Okay, let's unpack this setup. If those four core divisions are essentially regulatory or infrastructural toll roads on global finance, then the mobility division is the intruder.
Right, the division they acquired during the IHS Markit merger back in 2022.
Exactly. Mobility includes recognizable brands like Carfax, Polk, an automotive mastermind. It is a highly valuable business in a vacuum, right? It generates significant revenue.
It does, but it is fundamentally tethered to the global auto industry.
Which means it is inherently cyclical. It faces intense competition and it requires continuous product development. Its B requires immense work.
It is undeniably mechanical. The clash in business models here is stark. You have four divisions that require virtually zero operational friction to grow, paired with a fifth division that demands constant capital-intensive exertion.
Operating both requires entirely different mental models for management, I would imagine.
Absolutely. Recognizing this structural clash leads us directly to the core analytical framework of the article. To demonstrate precisely why this union is fatal to the company's broader valuation, the author subjects the mobility division to two very stringent tests.
This brings us to the analytical foundation of the entire piece, and we really need to spend significant time analyzing these mechanics. The first test the author applies is seemingly simple. Is there a wave?
Right. When you ask, is there a wave, regarding the ratings division, the answer is an undeniable yes.
Because the structural growth of global debt is a permanent secular force.
Exactly. But when you apply that same question to the mobility division, the narrative immediately fractures.
Because the auto industry is notoriously cyclical.
It is. It's tied entirely to consumer credit and macroeconomic cycles. Furthermore, the entire sector is currently facing severe foundational disruption.
Right, from electrification, autonomous driving, shared mobility.
All of it. The underlying wave for mobility is not just uncertain, it is fragmented.
So it definitively fails the first test. The macroeconomic environment isn't pushing it forward effortlessly. But the second test is equally critical to the author's framework. Is the wave captured by the moat?
Yes, and this is where the contrast between the divisions becomes even sharper. The ratings division possesses the NRSRO designation.
That's a nationally recognized statistical rating organization, right?
Correct. That is a regulatory mandate granted by the government. It operates as a near monopoly because you cannot simply start a competing ratings agency tomorrow.
Institutional investors wouldn't accept your grades.
Exactly. Their moat is impenetrable because it is written into the infrastructure of finance.
Whereas mobility possesses recognizable consumer brands, like CarFX.
Right. But a brand is not regulatory capture. It is not an infrastructural mandate.
It is merely a consumer preference that must be continuously defended with fresh marketing capital. But wait, before we go further, I want to push back on that slightly.
Sure.
Doesn't a brand as ubiquitous as CarFX create an illusion of a moat? I mean, if I am a traditional financial analyst, I look at a household name and I immediately check the moat box on my spreadsheet. Does that illusion mislead analysts, blinding them to the underlying mechanical cost of its growth?
That is a highly astute observation, and it highlights the exact trap Wall Street analysts fall into. They frequently equate brand ubiquity with a structural moat.
But the author argues otherwise.
Definitively. The author's core insight here is that a moat without a wave is exactly like a wave without a moat.
Meaning both conditions are strictly necessary.
Yes, neither is sufficient alone. Even if we grant that CarFax possesses a strong brand moat, it lacks the underlying structural wave of the auto industry to carry it forward effortlessly.
Because mobility fails these tests, it exposes a harsh reality that traditional models struggle to price.
Which is that not all growth is equal. The cost of B the capital and effort required to achieve that growth determines the true quality of the asset.
And that concept, that the cost of the B dictates everything, explains the precise analytical error Wall Street is making right now regarding this spinoff. Traditional analysts are asking the wrong questions entirely because they're using the wrong framework.
Oh, right. They are asking standard arithmetic questions. When they evaluate a corporate separation, they immediately look for synergy losses.
They argue over whether the separated companies will spend more on duplicate HR departments or IT infrastructure.
Or software licenses, exactly. They calculate mobility's standalone revenue, apply an industry standard multiple, add it to the remaining S&P global valuation, and debate whether the sum is greater than the current market capitalization.
They are entirely focused on surface level math.
They are completely missing the physics of the business.
The article argues the only question that matters is, what is the cost of each B? To understand this, we have to look at the before and after states of this conglomerate.
Right. Before the spinoff, the market looked at S&P Global and applied a blended multiple.
So the pristine, frictionless purity of the four free surfers was mathematically diluted by the mechanical, capital-intensive drag of mobility.
And that dilution heavily penalizes the valuation. Following the spinoff, S&P Global becomes a pure play on freebie businesses.
It transitions from being a diversified data conglomerate to a pure royalty on global capital markets.
Precisely. Because it requires virtually zero capital to grow, it warrants a premium multiple comparable to pure play peers like MSCI or Moody's.
So the artificial conglomerate discount vanishes entirely.
It does. And Mobility, once separated, will simply receive a standard mechanical multiple appropriate for a cyclical automotive data company.
So if this is mathematically obvious, what does this tell us about market efficiency? I mean, why does the market tolerate these artificial conglomerate discounts for years before finally demanding the mathematical purity of a separated business?
It's a great question.
Why do institutional investors allow a mechanical bee to drag down a free surfer in the first place?
The market tolerates it primarily due to institutional inertia and, you know, a relentless focus on aggregate earnings per share.
So as long as the mechanical bee is generating absolute revenue growth and contributing to the bottom line, analysts will often accept the dilution of the multiple.
Right. They prioritize aggregate size over structural purity, but eventually the drag becomes undeniable.
The capital expenditure required to maintain the mechanical division begins to constrain the limitless potential of the free surfers.
Exactly. And this corporate drive toward mathematical purity is not an isolated phenomenon. This is where the article really expands its scope.
Yes, the author draws a profound parallel to how the world's most sophisticated capital allocators manage their investment portfolios.
This parallel is where the framework elevates from a specific corporate strategy to a universal financial law.
The author introduces Chris Hahn and his activist hedge fund, TCI Fund Management. Hahn's historical returns are legendary, and the article notes they stem from extreme concentration and a rigorous, almost ruthless distillation of his portfolio.
The article highlights Hahn's strategic masterclass over the past decade. Historically, TCI held significant positions in major North American railroads.
Specifically Canadian National and Union Pacific, right?
Yes. And if we apply our framework, railroads represent the ultimate mechanical bee.
Because they are massively CapEx heavy.
Very much so. They are labor intensive and physically constrained by the limitations of steel, geography, and union negotiations.
To grow a railroad's revenue, you must literally build more railroad.
You must buy more diesel locomotives, maintain physical bridges, and hire more crews. It is the absolute definition of mechanical friction.
But Hahn didn't simply hold those assets forever. He executed a deliberate strategic migration.
He systematically sold off those mechanical, physical assets and redeployed that capital into pure free surfers.
He bought heavily into companies like Visa, Moody's, and S&P Global. He moved his capital into assets that are asset light, structurally growing, and digitally scaling.
Think about the difference in friction there.
Right. To process an extra $1 billion in transaction volume, Visa essentially just waits for people to swipe their plastic a few more times. They don't have to lay miles of steel track.
Exactly. Hahn realized he was paying for steel and friction when he could be paying for frictionless software.
He climbed the gradient.
He did. The author emphasizes a critical realization here. Hahn is doing at the portfolio level exactly what S&P Global's board of directors is currently doing at the corporate level.
They are both submitting to the same financial gravity.
Yes, they are both migrating up the gradient from the mechanical to the natural, from the expensive bee to the free bee.
So the ultimate destination for both the activist investor and the corporate board is absolute purity.
It is a precise alignment of incentives.
This is a fascinating way to view capital markets. It's almost like thermodynamic distillation applied to capital. Both the investor and the corporation are stripping away the heavy CapEx-intensive physical operations to leave behind only the highly refined, frictionless asset.
They're purifying the structure until it requires zero operational energy to expand.
Capital behaves optimally when managed by sophisticated actors who understand the cost of growth.
And the gravity of purity inevitably pulls smart capital away from friction and towards structural, effortless expansion.
Understanding this inescapable gravity provides you with a precise, actionable roadmap for navigating corporate actions in your own portfolio. The article isn't just theoretical. It provides a direct framework for application, specifically addressing what you should do with what the author calls the gift.
Ah, yes, the gift. This refers to the actual shares of Mobility Global that current S&P Global shareholders will receive upon the completion of the spinoff.
And the framework dictates a clear analytical course of action.
It does. When you receive those shares in your account, you must evaluate the B of the new standalone entity. Is the cost of its growth free or expensive?
Well, we have thoroughly established that the auto industry is cyclical, highly competitive, and facing secular disruption.
Right. Mobility's growth requires continuous capital investment and operational exertion. Therefore, its B is mechanical.
Which means the conclusion for the investor is obvious. Don't hold the new shares out of mere inertia. Sell the mechanical shares.
Take the proceeds and redeploy them up the gradient.
Move that capital into pure free surfers, whether that means adding to your position in the remaining purified S&P Global or buying into structural peers like MSCI or Visa.
And the author broadens this specific directive into a definitive heuristic for evaluating all corporate actions.
So whenever a company announces a spinoff or a major divestiture, you must determine what type of division is actually being shed.
Exactly. If a company is spinning off a free B, you must exercise extreme caution.
Because by shedding a free surfer, the parent company is actively becoming less pure.
Right. It is increasing its overall mechanical drag. In those specific instances, the spun-off entity might actually be the superior asset to hold for the long term.
But if a company is spinning off a mechanical B, which is exactly what S&P Global is executing right now, it is a purification trade.
The parent company is actively shedding friction, becoming structurally more valuable, and transitioning into a true, unburdened free surfer.
And the market will likely take several months to fully price in this transition, won't it?
Oh, definitely. Traditional analysts will remain distracted, meticulously calculating stranded overhead costs and debating standalone multiples for the mobility division.
They will miss the foundational reality that S&P Global is simply becoming what it always should have been, a pure, frictionless royalty on the expansion of global capital markets. So if we connect this framework to the broader market, how can an investor train themselves to spot a mechanical B masquerading as a freebie in future corporate announcements before the rest of Wall Street catches on to the mispricing?
Because, as we discussed earlier with Carfax, mechanical friction can easily hide behind strong consumer brand names.
Right. So how do we spot it?
You train yourself by rigorously applying the two specific tests we analyzed earlier to every single division of a conglomerate.
So you must ignore the consolidated top-line revenue figures.
Exactly. Look directly at the underlying mechanics of growth. Ask yourself, is the macro environment forcing this business to grow regardless of its own operational actions?
If a business must fight for every single percentage point of market share through relentless marketing, aggressive sales tactics, or constant product redesigns, it is fundamentally mechanical.
You have to strip away the brand narrative and examine the capital expenditure requirements. If growth demands proportionate capital, the B is not free, regardless of how recognizable the logo is.
Synthesizing this entire intellectual journey, S&P Global is finalizing a structural purification. They will be left with four core divisions, four infrastructural tolls on the global economy.
Four structural macroeconomic waves.
Four Bs that cost absolutely nothing to maintain. The free surfer is purifying its corporate structure, the mechanical friction of the mobility division is being shed, and the highly profitable, frictionless toll remains entirely intact.
The conglomerate discount they suffered from was always an artificial construct. The market was valuing a hybrid entity as if the purity of its distinct business models didn't matter.
But financial gravity always wins in the end.
It does. The distillation process continues, pulling sophisticated capital toward absolute efficiency. Investors who deeply understand the true cost of the B will quietly accumulate these purified assets while the broader market is still learning how to appropriately price their structural advantages.
Which leaves us with a final vital concept for you, the listener, to analyze and apply to your own financial evaluations moving forward.
And this is the real takeaway.
Right. If the market consistently underprices pure free surfers while they are hidden within larger complex conglomerates, what other major corporations operating in the market right now are secretly harboring a mechanical B?
What highly regarded blue chip companies have a capital intensive division quietly dragging down their overall valuation?
Just waiting for a purification trade of their own to unlock their true frictionless potential.
That is the ultimate question for any serious capital allocator to investigate.
It is a question that requires looking past the standard arithmetic of Wall Street and understanding the fundamental physics of the business. For more rigorous analysis and deeper insights on frameworks exactly like this one, you can explore the Averaging Up collection at averagingup.com. Until next time, keep examining the true cost of the B, and remember that sometimes absolute perfection is achieved only when there is nothing left to take away.